It's a great day to study God's Word. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'm so glad that you've joined us here on Through the Bible as we come together to learn from our founder and teacher, the late Dr. J. Vernon McGee. Now, we're on a five-year journey from Genesis to Revelation, and today is our first study in the Old Testament book of Daniel. Now, in just a few minutes, you'll hear Dr. McGee call Daniel one of the most thrilling books of the Bible. That certainly is an intriguing teaser, isn't it? Today, Dr. McGee will give us an overview of what we'll learn over the next 6 weeks as the Bible Bus takes us chapter by chapter through this most amazing book. If you're new to the program, you'll want to know that you can get Dr. McGee's notes and outlines for each study for free. To get your copy, just visit the resources section of our website at ttb.org and click on the banner for Briefing the Bible. There you can download our ebook of Dr. McGee's notes and outlines for every study of all 66 books of the Bible. Or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE, and we'll put an abridged paperback copy in the mail to you. Now, before we get started, let's share a few letters from the Bible Bus. Here's a note. This is from a fellow listener in the U.S. She doesn't tell us her name or where she lives, but she does share some very personal thoughts of what God's Word means to her in a season of difficulty. I thank and praise God for you and the amazing work He has done and continues to do through Dr. McGee's teachings, as well as your faithfulness in continually bringing the Word to people throughout the world. I was spiritually uplifted by the study of Isaiah because, as I go through the trials of this life, I am reminded of Father God's sovereignty. I wept when I heard and read the study on Isaiah chapter 40. Although I have read it before, it is even more meaningful for me during this period of my life. It has become my anthem. My husband and I have a son who is on the autism spectrum, and he is 17 years old. By nature, he is sweet and loving, but sometimes he has outbursts in which he hits himself and screams out. There was a period in which he had stopped doing this, but then it recently occurred again. This is a disturbing thing to our family and others, and we know the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but we also know our God has all the power and that His Word delivers us from all situations. I have also been told I will need to have surgery that includes some possible complications for my voice. However, I believe God will bring me safely through this surgery and that my singing and voice will not be damaged. Despite these trials, we know God is faithful and that He is loving and that He fainteth not, neither is weary. Isaiah 40:28. God says that even to your old age I am He, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. Isaiah 46:4. I believe and stand on these promises of our Father God. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah indeed. Isn't that a great letter? Thanks for sharing your trials with us, and we're so encouraged by what God is teaching you through His Word. Now this week, our world prayer team is traveling through the U.S. and Canada. We're praying for listeners like this sister in Christ and millions of others. If you'd like to join us as we travel the world on our knees and pray for God's Word to speak into the hearts of those who hear through the Bible, sign up at ttb.org/pray or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE and we'll be happy to give you more information. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the reminder that You're sovereign. Thank You for our brothers and sisters who remain faithful to You, even in the midst of these difficult times. Encourage them as we study today, and help us all see Your hand and rejoice in Your plan. We humbly ask that You transform our hearts through the truth that we're about to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, as we come to the book of Daniel, I must confess that, to me, this is one of the most thrilling books in the Bible. And it is, of course, a book on prophecy. And I would like to just say a word in this connection because of the fact that prophecy books large in the Word of God. But we need to be very careful. 1/4 of the books of the Bible are prophetic in nature. The subject and statement of the books are eschatological, that is, prophetic. And one-fifth of the content of Scripture was predictive when written. Now, a large segment of that has been fulfilled. We're going to find a great deal of fulfilled prophecy in the book of Daniel. And so prophecy can be divided into fulfilled prophecy and unfulfilled prophecy. Now, there are certain great subjects of prophecy, and they all run like planes flying into an airport from all sections of the world. And you can go to the book of Revelation and see these great subjects brought to a final fruition. You have the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the main subject of prophecy. The nation Israel, the Gentile nations, evil, Satan, and the man of sin, and the great tribulation. And then how this age will end. And then the church. And the church, of course, as we've said before, is not in the Old Testament. Therefore, there'll be no reference to it in the book of Daniel. And then the kingdom, the millennium, and then the future after the 1,000 years. These are the great subjects of prophecy. Now, no full-orb view of the Bible and no well-rounded student of Scripture, no one, I think, can be a full-grown believer without a knowledge of eschatology or prophecy. And the neglect of prophecy has produced certain harmful results, which I think are quite evident today. You find the different cults. Many of them have gone off in prophecy. And I think because largely the great denominations in the past neglected it. The great Dr. Charles Hodge, the great theologian of Princeton, he made this statement, and I'm quoting him now verbatim, quote, "The subject cannot be adequately discussed," he's talking about prophecy now, "cannot be adequately discussed without taking a survey of all the prophetic teachings of the Scripture, both of the Old Testament and of the New. This task cannot be satisfactorily accomplished by anyone who has not made a study of the prophecies a specialty. The author," that is Dr. Hodge, "knowing that he has not such qualifications for the work, purposes to confine himself in a great measure to a historical survey of the different schemes of interpreting the Scriptures prophetically." Now, friends, that was certainly a startling and a sad admission on the part of Dr. Hodge. And as a result, in our great denominations today, you find men actually ill-equipped to speak on this subject. And, of course, they reject it with a wave of the hand, and they dismiss it as being unimportant. And those that have gone into prophecy, and there have been many, so many of them come up with that which is sensational, that which is actually fanaticism. And it ought not to do that. I want to say that as we begin Daniel, because this is the book that today every sensational writer, he has to get in the book of Daniel. And somebody's going to say, that's the reason you got in the book of Daniel. No, really it's not, friends. At least I'd hope not. But it's certainly, this book would lend itself to that. Now, the book of Daniel, because it's so important, I think has been the object of special attack by Satan. It was true that Isaiah's been attacked. Isaiah's been called the prince of the prophets. Well, Daniel just happens to be the king of prophets. He is the great world ruler of prophets because of the fact he is the one who is prime minister to two great world rulers. We will see that in this book. Now, therefore, the book of Daniel has been a battlefield between the conservative and liberal scholars. And I don't care to enter into that too much. A great deal has had to do with the dating of Daniel. Porphyry, a heretic in the 3rd century A.D., he declared that the book of Daniel was a forgery, written during the time of Antiochus, Epiphanes, and the Maccabees. That'd be around 170 B.C., almost 400 years after Daniel had lived. Now, the German critics seized upon this hypothesis, and along with Dr. Driver, they developed this type of criticism. Now, these critics, as well as present-day unbelievers, they assume the premise that the supernatural does not exist. Hence, there can be no foretelling, since foreknowledge is supernatural, and you couldn't prophesy. But the very interesting thing is that the Septuagint, the Greek version of the Old Testament, which was written prior to the time of Antiochus Epiphanes, it contains the book of Daniel. And that's the reason the liberal scholar hasn't done very much about the Dead Sea Scrolls. He came at it with a bang at the beginning, but if you've noticed, they don't talk much about them today. Why? Because they confirm the fact that at that time there was only one Isaiah. And those boys, they would like to have a duet of Isaiahs. Some of them want a trio of Isaiahs. But the interesting thing is, Dead Sea Scrolls are very much alive. They're live scrolls, and they rather refute the liberal critic. It's interesting how these things in time are always answered. And if you'll notice, the heretic and the critic and the one that's gone off in a cult always move in an area of the Bible where at the present we don't have full knowledge of it. And so if you're going to speculate, everybody can speculate, you see, and for that reason, you can speculate any way you want to, and they generally speculate the wrong way. But generally, it works out that we find out that the Word of God is accurate. Now, Josephus, Flavius Josephus, he records an incident during the time of Alexander the Great, which supports the early authorship. When Alexander's invasion reached the Near East, Jaddua, the high priest, went out to meet him, showed to him a copy of the book of Daniel, in which he was clearly mentioned. And Alexander was so impressed by this that instead of destroying Jerusalem, he entered the city peaceably and worshiped at the temple. Well, may I say to you that these things, you know, they contradict the critics, and yet there's some people go on blindly today. Now, it's not, therefore, in the purview of these brief notes that we're giving you now to enter into useless argument and fight again about that which has already been settled. I want to say that I accept the findings of conservative scholarship that the man Daniel was not a deceiver, and that his book was not a forgery. We feel that the statement of Pusey is apropos here. I'm quoting again. The rest which has been said is mostly mere insolent assumptions against Scripture, grounded on unbelief. And it was Sir Isaac Newton who declared, to reject Daniel is to reject the Christian religion. Now, our Lord Jesus, he called the Pharisees hypocrites, but he called Daniel a prophet. That's interesting. Very frankly, I go along with the Lord Jesus. I call Daniel the prophet, and I call these critics hypocrites today. That's my idea, of course. Could be wrong. Now, will you notice? I don't think the Lord Jesus, though, reversed his arrangement. And the endorsement of the Lord Jesus Christ is valid and sufficient for every believer, whether he's examined the arguments of the critics or not. It satisfies the sincere saint without his having studied the answers of conservative scholarship. He can recognize that Daniel is spoken of in the New Testament as a prophet. Now, that leads me to say just a word about Daniel before we get into the book of Daniel. I think we know more of Daniel, the man, than we do of any other prophet. He gives us a personal account of his life from the time he was carried captive to Babylon, and that was in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, which was about 604 or 606 B.C., until the first year of King Cyrus, which was about 536 B.C., and Daniel's life and ministry bridged the entire 70 years captivity. At the beginning of the book, he's a boy in his teens. At the end, he's an old man of 80 and more years. Now, here is God's estimate of the man Daniel. O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. I wouldn't want to be a critic and call Daniel a forgery and someday have to face Daniel and find out in heaven he has a pretty good reputation, a man greatly beloved. I could only wish that the critic had that kind of a reputation in heaven and on earth also. Now, there are three words that characterize Daniel's life: purpose, prayer, and prophecy. Now, Daniel, first of all, was a man of purpose. We're going to see that. I tell you, when the king made a decree that they had to all eat the same thing, Daniel and his friends decided they would abide by the law of Moses, and they did. He was a man of purpose, and we're going to find out all the way through this book. Here's a man that stood on his 2 feet and had the intestinal fortitude to speak God's word. God have pity today on men that pretend to be God's messengers in this world and haven't got the courage to declare the word of God. They won't speak it. Thank God for the men that are doing it today, and there are many like that. Now, he's a man with a purpose. You see, the study of prophecy won't lead you to fanaticism or sensationalism. It's going to lead you to a life of holiness and fear of God, and you won't live for him. John said in 1 John 3:3, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he's pure." Now, Daniel was not only a man of purpose. Daniel was a man of prayer, and we have several incidents of that. By the way, prayer got that man in the lion's den. Now, how about that for answered prayer? Well, may I say to you that Daniel was a man of prayer. We're going to see that as we go through the book. And I rather think that prayer and prophecy are very close. Now, Daniel was a man of prophecy. The book of Daniel, as we're going to see, divides itself quite equally. The first half is history. The last half is prophecy. And we are going to see in this particular section that Daniel has a great deal to say, even in the first section, about prophecy. But a great deal of that, by the way, has already been fulfilled. Now, I want to say that I believe that the book of Daniel was written between 606 B.C. and 536 B.C. in that period. And we'll see why we make that statement from the book. Now, I said a moment ago that you can divide this up, you see, into two equal divisions. The first one I call the historic night with prophetic light. The last section, beginning with chapter 7 through 12, you have prophetic light in the historic night. Now, in the very first section, and I'll just give that today, you have in chapter 1, decline of Judah and the fall of Jerusalem. Daniel taken captive to Babylon and his decision to be true to God. Then in chapter 2, the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. Chapter 3, you have the decree of Nebuchadnezzar to enforce universal idolatry. And then you have in chapter 4, the dream of Nebuchadnezzar about a great tree hewn down. and it speaks of his period of madness, insanity. And then, chapter 5, we have the downfall of Babylon foretold. And in chapter 6, the decree of Darius that put Daniel in the lion's den. Now, we are going to attempt to follow this outline, and I'm just going to get my foot in the door today here of chapter 1. Now, I do hope that you have before you our notes and outlines. That's going to be helpful to you, especially in this book, because I'm going to go into a great deal of detail here. Now, I believe that the key to this book is found in the second chapter, Daniel, verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Now, in chapter 1, we have here the decline of Judah, the fall of Jerusalem, and Daniel taken captive to Babylon, and his decision to be true to God. In the first 5 verses, you have the decline and fall of Jerusalem to Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. Then you have verses 6 through 14, the decision of Daniel as one of the captives to be true to God. And then verses 15 to 21, delight of Nebuchadnezzar in the development of Daniel and his 3 friends. Now let's look at the decline and fall of Jerusalem to Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. I'm reading now verse 1. In the 3rd year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. Now Jehoiakim was placed on the throne of Judah by Pharaoh Necho to succeed his brother Jehoahaz. Both of these men were sons of Josiah, but they were both evil, although their father, as we have seen before, was a godly man, led in actually the last revival. Now, Jehoiakim's name actually was Eliakim, and during his reign, Nebuchadnezzar first came against Jerusalem. The year was about 606 B.C. He took the city about 604 B.C. The city, however, was not destroyed, and the first group of captives was taken to Babylon. Now, among these were Daniel and his 3 friends, as well as literally thousands of others. Now, when Jehoiakim died, his son Jehoiachin came to the throne. He rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, who in 598 besieged Jerusalem again. Once more, Jerusalem was not destroyed, but the king and his mother and all the vessels of the house of the Lord were taken away to Babylon with an even larger group of captives. Evidently, among this latter group was Ezekiel. Now, when we were studying Ezekiel, I went into this in a great deal of detail. You find all of this back in 2 Kings, the 23rd chapter, and the 24th chapter. Now Zedekiah, the uncle of Jehoiachin, who was subsequently made king, also rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. And this time Nebuchadnezzar came against the city, destroyed the temple, burned Jerusalem, and the sons of Zedekiah were slain in his presence, and then his eyes were put out. He, with the final deportation, went into captivity about 588 or 587 B.C. And by the way, this was accomplished in fulfillment of the prophecy that Jeremiah had given in Jeremiah 25, 8 and 13. And you remember this man, Jeremiah, he said that the prophets were false prophets. Jerusalem would be destroyed. Ezekiel said the same thing. And these 2 men just happened to be right. Now we'll leave off there today. We'll begin right there next time. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Well, Dr. McGee is just getting started in Daniel. On Monday, we'll dive straight into chapter 1. The study promises to be intense, fascinating, and somewhat fast-paced, so if you'd like to take a little more time with this material, don't forget that you can listen to these studies again anytime at ttb.org. Now, as we take a quick break from this daily program, I hope that you'll join me for Dr. McGee's Sunday sermon broadcast. His subject will be Charge It. It's a sermon from the little letter of Philemon in the New Testament. To listen online or to see if your station carries the Sunday sermon, visit ttb.org, or, of course, you can call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Well, the Bible bus will be back around your corner on Monday. I hope that you'll hop aboard. I'm Steve Schwetz, praying that God will bless you as you seek Him today in His Word.
Jesus made it home, unto Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.